English with Rob.
Hi everyone, it's Rob. I'm back with another podcast for you lovely English learners. And today I've got a very special guest. She's special because she's great. And it's also special because she was the first ever guest that was on the podcast and she's returned. It's Shireen from An English Nerd. Hi Shireen, how are you doing?
Hello. Hi, Rob. Thank you for having me again.
Again, yeah. So let me introduce Shireen a bit for those of you who missed the first episode. But why? Why have you not been and back and listened to every single episode of this podcast? I'm joking. I'm going to introduce where you're from with a joke. Oh, I know, because now you know the answer to the joke. Okay, here's the joke. Maybe you know it.
Mm-hmm.
What is America's favorite soda?
Minnesota?
Minnesota. Have you heard that joke before?
No.
So it's not famous in Minnesota. Soda, in case you don't know, listeners, is any carbonated drink, any fizzy drink, like cola or Fanta or lemonade. Although no, American lemonade is not carbonated.
That's true. But did you know that in Minnesota, we don't say soda, we say pop.
Oh, do you? Oh, I thought that was just a British thing, a drink of pop.
No, we say pop.
Okay, that's why the joke doesn't actually work in the place where the punchline is based on. Okay, And yeah, Minnesota. But also, if you know, as a Brit, I think I should pronounce it Minnesota, not Minnesota.
I think you should too.
So, yeah, also doesn't work for that reason. Okay, yes, Minnesota. Let's move on. So the theme of the podcast today, I don't know about you, Shireen, but I don't like racism.
No, I'm also not a fan of racism.
And I don't like sexism.
I also don't like sexism.
Okay. I don't like ageism.
Definitely don't like ageism.
But I do like euphemisms.
Do you?
Yes. Okay. I think I found that funnier than I imagined it would be actually on the podcast when I was writing it. Okay. Okay. Yeah. It's an ism, but it's not an ism like the other isms. Euphemisms. So this was inspired by when I invite a guest on the podcast. Usually, I'll go through their Instagram to see what they're talking about to find an interesting theme. And you made a post about euphemisms. Do you remember that post? I can't remember how far back I had to scroll to find it.
I don't remember exactly what I posted in that post, but I do know. I know which post you're talking about. It was a while ago.
And here's a jingle about euphemisms.
Euphemisms. Euphemisms. Euphemisms. Euphemisms. Don't say die. Say pass away. Don't say have sex. Say go all the way. Euphemisms. Euphemisms. Don't say do a wee or do a poo. Say have a number one or a number two. Euphemisms. Euphemisms. When a subject is taboo.
Okay, your face looked a little bit confused in a bit of that. Maybe I hit on a euphemism that was British and not American. No?
No, the confusion was because a bug was in front of my face.
Oh, okay. So you're familiar with a number one and a number two?
Absolutely,
okay,
yes.
Okay, I actually mentioned this with some of my German English learning students. Didn't need to say English learning, German students. And they didn't know about a number one and a number two.
And okay.
They say a big one or a small one. Yeah.
That's funny.
But yeah, so from the song, if a subject is taboo, use a euphemism to avoid being rude. So we don't want to talk about I'm doing a poo or I'm doing a wee. wait, I said them the wrong way around. I'm doing a wee or I'm doing a poo. So instead say a number one or a number two. And I actually have a real life situation where this happened, because it's, you know, there are lots of euphemisms about going to the toilet without actually saying going to the toilet, which maybe we'll get to later. But it's not common that you have to define which of the toilet activities you're doing. However,
absolutely true.
One time when I got on a long distance bus, at the beginning of the, when all the passengers got on before we left, the driver got on the microphone and explained that there is a toilet at the back of the bus. However, this toilet is only for number ones. It's not for number twos. If you want to, if you need to do a number two, please try and wait. Try and wait. I'm sure he just said wait. Please wait until we go to a service station, you know, a motorway place with a toilet. So yeah, it does happen that you have to formally say number one or a number two.
That's true. It could happen. I think that it's more common to use when you're speaking to your child, maybe if they need to go to the bathroom and you're in a public setting.
Right.
You might ask.
You just used a very common euphemism.
Did I?
Yeah. When you need to.
What did I say?
You said go to the bathroom.
Oh, yes. To go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Yes.
I find this one strange because, you know, if you're in a restaurant, you say, oh, excuse me, I'm just going to go to the bathroom. There's no bath in that room. Right?
Absolutely true. And that euphemism is such a regular part of my vocabulary that I don't even hear it.
Yeah, this is euphemisms. They're part of the everyday language syntax, and you don't think about it. But it would be strange to say, well, I don't know, toilet toilet is not so bad. But things like, okay, we're going to get into some taboo subjects. Things like sex, you might say sleep with. If you're talking about, if you need to talk about sex, somebody slept with somebody. And, you know, the sleeping is not the important part. Maybe there wasn't even any sleeping. Maybe one of the participants left before the sleeping happened.
It's true. Yeah.
So it's interesting language.
To go back to the toilet, though.
Yes, let's do that.
The first time that I heard somebody say, I need to go to the toilet, it was a British person, and I was shocked. I thought it was a joke, because for an American, toilet can sound quite, it's too direct.
Right. You thought that.
So I was quite surprised the first time I heard that.
You thought the person was being like crude on purpose to make a joke.
Yes. Yes. You mean the bathroom, the restroom, the washroom,
restroom.
Not the toilet.
Yeah, there are more American euphemisms for it, because we might say bathroom, but we wouldn't say washroom or restroom, especially restroom. I imagine I go in there and it's just full of people resting, like the chill out zone at a club, the restroom.
And I assume there used to be an area to rest, which is where it came from.
Maybe. There's also the one, I'm just, for ladies, I'm just going to powder my nose.
Mm-hmm. Just going to powder my nose.
Which I think in Pulp Fiction they use that, but they really have a double meaning, because I think she's actually putting some powder up her nose.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I've also heard I just need to wash my hands. You know, that's another way to avoid saying that you need to go to the bathroom.
Yep.
You need to do a number one or a number two.
Uh-huh. We can't even bring ourselves to say the real words. We're just so polite.
Yes, so polite.
Okay, but when else might euphemisms come in useful? What other subjects might you not want to talk about, something serious?
So there are times when we use euphemisms because it's awkward or uncomfortable. But then there are also times when we use euphemisms because we don't want to hurt somebody. And so I would say that death is one of the most common topics that we use euphemisms for, because we don't, it's a sensitive subject and we want to treat it delicately. So we don't want to use the word die,
right?
Or death.
Yeah, definitely. So instead of saying, I'm sorry to hear your grandma died, just that word died, it's so evocative of horribleness that someone's going through. So what could you say instead?
I'm so sorry that your grandmother passed away.
Passed away, yeah. Mm. There's also is no longer with us.
Yes.
Or has left us. I'm sorry that your grandmother has left us.
I'm sorry that you lost your grandmother.
Yep. And you know, you, yeah. I shouldn't be laughing, but it's just my personality, because that you wouldn't then, you know, in like a comedy show, someone might say, I'm sorry that you lost your grandma. I mean, if somebody said that to me, even in these dark times, I always use humor to try and come past it. So if someone said to me, oh, I'm sorry that you lost your grandma, I would say, oh, it's okay. I'm sure I'll find her. She's around here somewhere. She's probably at the back of the sofa.
I feel like everything that we just listed is something that you would see like in a Facebook comment when somebody announces that they've lost somebody.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry for your loss.
Yes. Yeah. And then you've got me underneath commenting, I'm sure you'll find her. No, I would never do that. Never do that. Always out of a real context.
Nobody would ever comment, I'm sorry your grandma died. It just.
No, they wouldn't use died.
No,
definitely would be passed on, passed away, left us. Okay.
But the funny thing is that we have other euphemisms for death that are also inappropriate, but funny.
Yes. That's something that I wanted to talk about as well later, but let's jump to that now. There's in my research. So I was thinking, yeah, okay, euphemisms. Yes, they are. Shireen's Instagram post pointed out very well that they are to use to talk about a delicate subject without saying the word. But there are like negative euphemisms. And then I was doing a bit of research. There is actually a word for these for these rude euphemisms.
Oh, okay.
And it's dysphemisms, negative euphemisms. So what are the negative euphemisms for death then?
I'm wondering if this is what you mean by negative. If I say that somebody croaked.
Yeah.
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 To croak.
So it's, you know, it's negative in that you wouldn't say, I'm sorry to hear your grandma croaked it. Grandma croaked or croaked it. See, we're laughing because it would just be so inappropriate to say something.
So inappropriate,
like,
that it's hilarious.
Yeah, but they're like making light of it, being funny because it's so inappropriate to say it like that. I can think of
it's worse than to say died.
Yeah. To kick the bucket. Have you heard of that? Mm-hmm.
Kick the bucket.
And that's where we get bucket list. It's all the things you want to do in your life before you kick the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
And pushing up mm-hmm. daisies. Daisies are like flowers that grow in the ground, and if you're under the ground, you're pushing up daisies. You can be worm food.
Oh, you can expire.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear your grandma expired. No, he would not say that.
No. I would say that we usually use these when we're talking about ourselves. You know, that's the pretty much the only appropriate time to, yeah.
Yeah. To or maybe somebody that you're so far disconnected from, like, oh, did you hear that that celebrity croaked it that or snuffed it or... someone, yeah, that there's not going to be any feelings stirred up.
Yeah, true.
Okay. Okay, let's move on before we kick the bucket. Okay, so to use some of these, I asked Shireen to we're going to have a conversation, but really we're just going to ask each other questions using these euphemisms. So let's have a conversation.
Let's have the conversation. Let's talk, let's chat. Let's have the conversation about this and that. Let's have the conversation, just me and you. Yeah, have the conversation, that's what we're gonna do.
Yeah, so I sent Shireen the list of euphemisms and then looked at them and thought, wait, how can you ask people questions with these? They're all subjects you shouldn't talk about. So let's see. I'm interested to see what you came up with. So I'll ask you one first.
Okay.
Mine are all quite gentle. I found some gentle ones. So do you have anything which is pre-owned?
Ah, do I have anything which is pre-owned? I do. My car is pre-owned.
Mm-hmm. And would you say pre-owned? Like in the when you go to buy it, do they say these are the pre-owned cars, or do they say used? Because used is not so,
so
positive.
I would describe it as a used car, personally. When speaking, I'd say I bought my car. Actually, I would say I have a used car, but I'd say I bought my car secondhand, which is another euphemism.
Secondhand.
Because if you don't like to say used, it's not used, it's secondhand.
Mm.
But definitely the dealer would describe it as pre-owned.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is as far detached from used as possible.
Yeah, it's just the ownership, not the use. It was pre-owned. Someone just had it. It was just sitting there. They owned it. They didn't use it. They didn't drive it to work every day. And, you know, can I use some euphemisms? They never broke wind in this car. Do I need to explain break wind? I could explain it with a sound effect, which I will input later.
Right. So an American wouldn't say to break wind.
No, that's not a euphemism in America.
No, I don't think so.
But you've heard
don't
of it.
Hold me
you know what
that.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do. I would say pass gas.
Pass gas. Wow. I like the rhyme, the alliteration.
Pass gas.
Okay, break wind, pass gas. Yeah, no, I wouldn't say that. But if you say it, I would know. I would understand what you meant.
Mm-hmm.
From the smell, if nothing else. Okay. So yeah, you've got a pre-owned car. Okay, good. Yeah, actually, I was in, do you know Zalando? Do you have the clothes shop Zalando?
No.
Zalando, and I went in there. It's a clothes shop. They have a new section, and it's on the banners. You can see pre-owned. They don't put used. Second, I think used, there's the idea that it's finished. It's used up. It's completely
That's
used.
True.
You can't, you know, it's finished.
I'm surprised because when it comes to secondhand clothing, I'm seeing the word vintage. Vintage is the euphemism for used.
Well, it depends, doesn't it? Because it's like vintage style. And if something's vintage, I think that it's like 1960s or 50s. Actually, nowadays, probably 90s
Mm-mm.
is vintage. Yeah, right? Well, the vintage clothes, when I was kind of hipster buying vintage clothes, I was buying like 70s shirts with big collars and flares and things also from the 70s, and had a nice 60s velvet jacket. I just said nice, but looking back, it wasn't nice. But yeah, vintage.
Now it's early 2000s.
Yeah. Vintage. But these clothes were not vintage, you know, they were, you know, Jack and Jones or modern brands, Adidas, not so old, but yeah. Okay, you got a question for me?
I do. Let's see. I'm going to go straight into, I have a euphemism that is British that I like very much. I only ever heard it when I was in England. Rob, what are you like when you are merry?
Merry, okay. There's a fine line, isn't there? Because I like being merry, but it's hard to stay merry. Often you tip over into, I'm going to use some other euphemisms that are harder than one step up from merry. Sloshed, shit-faced, legless. So yeah, when I'm merry, I'm louder. And I think I'm funnier, probably I'm not. and yeah, nice. So okay, to explain, in case you don't get it from that context, everybody. Shireen, what is merry?
Well, instead of merry, what I would say is tipsy. I don't know if the English use the word tipsy.
Yeah, we also say tipsy, yeah. Tipsy.
So tipsy is when you have a drink or two drinks, alcoholic, and you're not drunk. You're just a little merry.
Yeah, you're a little bit drunk. You're feeling the effects and you've got that little bit of extra confidence to really have a good time. And that's where you should stay. But then you have another drink and you don't realize, and slowly the merriness turns into trouble.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, sloshed.
Sloshed is quite a sort of a high class one. Like, oh, did you see Boris the other night? He was totally sloshed. All right, I'll come back at you with another question then. Have you ever stayed in a hotel or just been to a place which left a lot to be desired?
Oh. Yes, of course I have. Which hotel have I stayed in? I stayed in a hostel in London.
Okay. This sounds like it's fitting the bill. Yes.
Yes. And it was awful. So I think that is my answer.
Yeah. So if something leaves a lot to be desired, I think not nice is too soft. It's really, really uncomfortable. Was it dirty? Or
it was very dirty, it was very loud, it was mainly dirty.
Okay. It left a lot
definitely
to be desired.
Left a lot to be desired, for sure.
Yeah, well, as soon as you say hostel and not hotel, then I think we're probably more likely to leave a lot to be desired.
Mm-hmm.
But that's such a step back, isn't it? Not, it's horrible. It leaves a lot to be desired. You know, it needs more for me to like it, is what I'm saying. Not, it's bad, but it just needs more for me to like it. Leaves a lot to be desired.
It's very polite. It's very polite. I suppose.
It's used in America, is it? Leaves a lot to be desired.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think it in a polite, in a circumstance where I'd want to be polite and use that phrase, is probably about a meal that I've ordered in a restaurant. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely would say it leaves a lot to be desired rather than it's disgusting.
Okay.
Yeah,
we could probably
the
find
hotel
it.
That I stayed at, the hostel I stayed at in London was a shithole. So it left a lot to be desired.
Okay. A shithole, another euphemism. A bit. Okay. Maybe that's can't remember the word. Dysphemism. Was it? Wait.
That's what you said. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I said, right?
Dysphemism.
Yeah, okay. New words, you have to practice them. Language mm-hmm. learners. Even if it's your own language. But listen, okay. I should have explained this at the start. As an English teacher, I don't like to teach grammar words. So, for example, if I'm trying to teach the past simple versus present perfect, I will introduce the lesson as this is do and have done. This is did and have done. When do you use did? When do you use have done? So the word euphemism, you don't need to learn it. The word dysphemism, you don't need to learn it. These are grammar words. Forget them. Take them out of your head. Just learn the phrases, the euphemisms. Learn them. Yes, learn the useful ones. And maybe you will hear the other ones.
I'd say it's mostly important to understand them and definitely learn to use them when you're talking about death. Yeah. I don't know why. That is the one to me that I...
Those are the useful ones. And because I think a lot of languages, especially German, I have a lot of experience with German learners. A lot of languages can be direct. And in their culture, it's fine to say something as it is without using a euphemism like we do a lot in the English language. So yeah, for that reason, it's good to learn some useful ones. Going to the toilet, someone dying, breaking wind, all of the sex ones. Mm-hmm. Not all of the sex ones, some of the sex ones. All right. Okay, so I asked you about leave a lot to be desired. So it's your turn to ask a question.
I'm going to ask you a sad one. Is that okay?
Yep. Sad, sexy, okay. Whatever. I'm fine.
Have you ever had to put down a pet?
Oh, no. I've not had the pleasure.
Oh my God.
I'm not a pet person. I don't like dogs. Awful. I've just lost so many listeners. So many people have unsubscribed from the podcast. I'm joking, people. I have a dark sense of humor. You know, you probably know that if you listen to the podcast a lot. No, I've never had to put a pet down. Maybe from Shireen's reaction to what I said, you can tell that it's something very serious. And normally, yeah, the vet does it anyway, but you would still say have an animal put down because I suppose they ask you, do you want to do that? And you say yes or no. But no, listen, okay, my parents wanted to get a dog. And I said, look, I really don't want a dog. The day after I left for university, they got a dog. The very next day, they really couldn't wait. But they were nice that they knew so much that I didn't want a dog. I'm not afraid of dogs. Just don't want them to like touch me. And I don't want to touch them because they're
so you'll animals. Never have to put a dog to sleep.
Oh, there's another one. Yeah, to put it to sleep. Yeah.
Put it to sleep.
Shireen, it's not sleeping. It won't wake up. No, accidentally. No, just naturally. It's because it's so much, you know, a part of our syntax. It's in there.
Mm-hmm. We put an animal to sleep. We put an animal down.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe I'm going to have to cut out all this pet hate because a lot of people really like animals. People love dogs.
Better be careful.
Yeah, no, I'm happy for people to have dogs. And I can see that the love and the friendship and the bond that people have with animals. Just not for me. And I would of course take no pleasure in putting an animal down. Of course not. So no, I've never had to.
Neither have I.
Good.
Neither have I. I was thinking about a more formal euphemism for this, and it would be to euthanize.
Yes, that would be the I suppose medical technical term to euthanize. Mm-hmm.
I suppose ultimately you're killing it.
I hesitated when I said two. I was going to say kill, and then I thought no, that's almost too harsh. Yes, you're killing it.
Making
it dead, taking its life. Yes. But for good reason, because it's suffering, and euthanasia mm-hmm. is to end suffering basically mm-hmm. in the most ultimate way that you can.
That was another euphemism to take its life.
Yes. See, we anything to avoid saying killing or death.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Good one. Not very well answered by me, but.
Sorry for that question.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I hope that people took it in the dark humor way that I intended it. Okay.
I know you're not an animal hater.
No, I'm not an animal hater. Just I just don't want a pet. That's all. Just don't want a
That's
pet.
That's fine. Otherwise.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have a bird, but only if it was trained that it could fly around and fly out of the house and come back in the house whenever it wanted. But that's unrealistic.
Unlikely.
Okay. Is there a time? Okay, well, I want to use this euphemism, but I don't know how to phrase the question really, so I'll leave it open. Is there a time when you have been economical with the truth, or a time when someone has been economical with the truth to you?
Okay. Of course. The answer is yes, but I'm trying to think of a time when I've been economical with the truth. If I said that I wasn't ever in my life, that would be a lie.
That would be being economical with the truth.
That's true.
But then if you if you do tell us the example, then the cat is out of the bag.
Warning. Oh. Idiom. Warning.
I don't think I had the idiom alarm when we did the first podcast.
No.
No, I've got an idiom alarm now. Whenever we hear an idiom, the idiom alarm, mostly the idiom alarm picks up on when there's an idiom. So to let the cat out of the bag means to, when a secret is told, when a secret is no longer a secret anymore because you've told someone. So yeah, if you tell us about a time when you've been economical with the truth, then we will all know.
Mm. I once in 8th grade, maybe.
Okay, we're safe, I think.
Mm-hmm. I had a biology test and I hadn't prepared for that test. And so I was definitely economical with the truth. I forgot the euphemism. I was definitely economical with the truth. So that I could get out of taking that test and get an extension.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to share.
You're not going to tell us how? Okay, okay.
There's a lot of, it's not very nice.
Okay, there's people with exams tomorrow thinking, tell us, how can I get out of this doing this exam?
I perhaps employed another euphemism about death to get out taking the test.
Okay, so now we know what you did. Okay. All right, let's move on. Have you got a question for me?
Yes, let's see. I will ask you, do you remember when did you ever have the experience where your parents had to have the talk with you?
To have the talk. Okay. the birds and the bees is another one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell me about the birds and the bees. I do have a funny anecdote about this. Funny for everybody except for me, but not from my parents. No. Don't know why, because when you do have the talk, you remember it because it's such a big thing and it's a very awkward situation. Your parents mm-hmm. explaining what I think most of the time the kids already know most of. So no, I never really got the talk. Although I do remember asking my mum, why does it go up sometimes?
Oh my goodness.
This is like for very small children. Sometimes it happens. Okay, let's have some euphemisms. You get a woody. There's lots of idioms that I'm not going to put now. I think that's the softest. No, soft is not the right adjective to describe it. Okay, so yeah. This is fine. It's fine, Shireen. It's fine. I'm cool talking about this. And my mum said, oh, it's just because you're happy.
Oh my goodness.
But it does
I'm
happen
glad
to
you remember it.
It happens to young boys, like very, very young. It happens. So yeah, I remember that. But the other thing is that at school, when we were all put into the hall, I don't know what age it is, maybe like 12 or 13, younger possibly. No, wait, because it was secondary school. So it would be 12, 13, 14. And they played as a video. And I wasn't feeling good in the morning already. So they showed us the video about sex and menstruation and all of that stuff, the talk. And during this video, I felt really like a headache and I felt drowsy. And then the next thing I know, I wake up and one of the teachers is pulling my chair back across the room to take me outside of the hall. And I wake up and everybody is turned around looking at me being dragged away because I'd fainted and I'd chosen the worst time possibly in adolescence to faint during a sex education video. So of course, for the rest of the, well, for a long time after that, I was remembered as the boy who like couldn't take the reality of like the sex, the talk.
And you passed out.
Yeah, I passed out. I fainted because I was, apparently it was so much for me to take, but I wasn't feeling good before that. And this is bringing back so many memories of all the things I was saying at the time. People didn't believe.
Oh no.
So yeah, that was the talk.
Isn't it funny though that like across countries we know what the talk is. The talk There's only one talk.
I wonder if it's the same in for your language, do you call it the translation of the talk? Le parler? No, that's more like speak, isn't it? You don't say the speak. The talk. Okay,
to have the talk.
Okay, I won't ask you about that one. My next one is, okay, so that was looking back. Now we're looking forwards. Do you have any idea of where you would like to be or what you would like to be doing in your golden years?
Oh.
Your golden years.
My golden years?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You haven't thought about it. Okay, it's good. No. It's so far away.
So far away. I hope that I'm relaxing somewhere warm and I'm not stressed out. And I really haven't thought too much about it.
Okay. Let's just explain in case people are not following. Your golden years is like after you're retired, when you finished working, when you're old. Lots of people in England like to move to the coast for their golden years. They live near the beach. So if you go to places like Bournemouth, there's a lot of old people there. Older people. We shouldn't say old people. We should say older. Mm-hmm. Older people.
Older.
Mm. Lots of euphemisms about old age that we could mention, like...
There's actually one that I just recently learned that, you know, senior citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Senior citizen is actually starting to take on a negative meaning, and people don't want to be called seniors. They want to be called older adults.
Okay. I can understand that. Yeah. There's also the word elderly. But elderly implies like really old, like so old that you really have trouble getting around or just functioning by yourself. Elderly. So definitely avoid that one.
Mm-hmm.
And there are lots of dysphemisms like over the hill, past your prime, an old timer.
Ancient.
Ancients. Yeah. A fossil, a dinosaur. Yeah. Okay. Don't use them. Don't address people with them. only in jest, only if you're joking. Okay, here's my last question for you, Shireen. I don't know if you're going to have an answer for it, but I think it's a very interesting euphemism nonetheless. So let's not talk about you. Have you ever been in a situation, or do you know anybody who has wet themselves? To wet himself, to wet herself.
Well, I mean, certainly in my life, I have wet myself.
In your childhood, perhaps.
In my childhood, okay. Yes. I used to teach kindergarten, so I am very familiar with people wetting themselves. It can be very embarrassing.
Yeah. What, the teachers just can't control themselves?
Yeah, you know, it's the teachers, not the kids.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, there you go. So I just think that's a very to wet yourself. You're just talking about wet. You're not talking about what the source of the wetness. Wet yourself. Mm-hmm.
And if you do a number two in your pants.
Yeah.
There's a word for that as well.
I would say if I'm being polite, I would say soil yourself.
Me too. Yeah. Yes.
And soil is like the stuff that you grow plants in, the mud, the stuff in the ground. Soil yourself. It's not soil. It's not soil. It smells a lot worse than soil.
No.
Okay. All right, let's move on. So the last little thing I have is a game. And so these are euphemisms from popular culture. So who said it, basically? Although the first one actually is not that. The first one is, it's popular culture. It's like more modern. Netflix and chill. Have you heard of Netflix and chill?
I absolutely have. Netflix and chill.
So it,
am I supposed to say who said it, who created
that? No. This is why I said okay. This one is on my list. I'm just looking at it now, but I realized that it's not one that you can answer. But it's like a modern euphemism, which has come out, you know, because Netflix is quite new. And some of my students didn't know that Netflix and chill actually means like have sex at home.
There's no chilling.
There's no chilling. There's probably no Netflix.
That's true.
Well, maybe you watch some Netflix first and then you do it. But yeah, that's like a modern euphemism. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now it is the game.
To do it.
To do it? Well,
hey, if
we're going euphemisms, we can do that. To do it, to go all the way, to go, which base is it? I'm not familiar with the baseball system. Which one is the all the
really?
Way?
Third base.
Okay.
Oh no, wait, to go. I don't know baseball either.
Okay. It's the last one. Is it a home run?
That's why I'm like, is it third base or is it a home run? I don't know.
Okay. But yeah. Lots of them for no one wants to say have sex. There were lots of other euphemisms and also lots of dysphemisms as well, which we won't get into.
No.
Okay, so not who said it, but like who did this happen to? Which celebrities are involved? So which celebrity couple had a conscious uncoupling? Do you know that?
A conscious uncoupling.
Yeah, they said when they broke up, they called it, we've decided to have a conscious uncoupling.
Was it what's his face from Coldplay?
That's correct.
Oh, before you finish saying it.
Did I really get it correct?
Yeah.
That's correct.
I'm shocked.
Yeah. Chris Martin and
Cameron Diaz?
Oh.
That is so not correct.
I don't know her name.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
She looks the same.
Yeah. Blonde. Similar age, I suppose, yeah.
I'm not good at celebrities, so that's why I'm shocked that I got it right.
Okay. Well, you did. Well done. Well, you got it half right. The guy half from Coldplay, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Gwyneth Paltrow, when they split up, they said, we're having a conscious uncoupling. Okay. By the way, there's only three questions of this. I couldn't find many, so there are two more. And the last one, I think.
And then after that, his song came out called Magic, and I cried.
Oh,
song.
I don't know. It's about the end of the relationship.
I assume so. Okay. You can listen to it after this.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to do that.
Fuck.
No, I really like I do like Coldplay, but not lately. Like you know that song Fix You? I really like that one.
Yeah.
I will try.
I don't really love Coldplay anymore, but I did.
And I hear that if you go to a Coldplay gig, people are all over the place. People are crying because they're so emotional about the music. I can see that.
Coldplay.
You've seen Coldplay live?
Yeah, live.
Did you cry?
No.
Were people crying?
I don't remember.
My brother told me that people were crying at a Coldplay gig. Which famous singer had a wardrobe malfunction? If you don't know, I can tell you when it happened if you don't get it. But this term was used afterwards, a wardrobe malfunction.
A wardrobe malfunction. It was, I can think of multiple. So I'm going to say Jennifer Lopez or Janet Jackson. One of them.
Yep, it was one of them.
Where's the sound effect?
That's correct!
There you go. It was... no, I almost said the wrong one. It was Jennifer. Okay, let's go back. Jennifer Jopez. It was. I'm gonna have to read it now. No, I've not written it down.
It was Janet Jackson.
Janet Jackson. Yeah.
Janet Jackson
at the 2004 Super Bowl show.
Did Jennifer Lopez never have a wardrobe malfunction?
You know what? I daren't Google it in case my wife looks at my search history. maybe. So wardrobe malfunction. Wardrobe is... Well, actually, do you call the place where you put your clothes, that cupboard, do you call it a wardrobe?
The only way I would call it a wardrobe is if it wasn't in the wall, like if it was an external thing that I bought from IKEA, then it's a wardrobe.
Okay.
If it's built into the wall, it's a closet.
Okay, so you do use both. Okay. If it's built into the wall in Europe, well, in British English, we'd call it a walk-in wardrobe.
But
wardrobe is just a general term for all of your clothes, basically. So she had a wardrobe malfunction, even though isn't it the case that Justin Timberlake like did it on purpose, ripped away a bit of her top?
I believe so.
Yeah. Okay. So the last one is you will never know this, but it's a funny euphemism. So this guy he said that he was watching badgers, and this has become a euphemism after he said that he was watching badgers. Do you know who said that he was watching badgers?
Not a clue.
Do you know what a badger is? Do you have badgers?
Yeah.
Okay. For the listeners, what's a badger?
A badger is an animal that lives near the water. No?
Oh, that's a beaver. Beaver, yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, it's a black and white animal, and it comes out at night, and it lives in parks.
Oh, I definitely don't know what a badger is.
Okay. Anyway, so you don't know who was watching badgers.
No.
So there's a British politician who in 2003, it was the second time he was caught on Clapham Common. Do you know about Clapham Common in London?
Yeah.
Do you know what people do there at night sometimes?
Oh, no. I mean, I know the neighborhood Clapham.
Okay. Clapham Common is famous for... cottaging is another euphemism for it, but I think that's it's basically when people go, mostly just men, and they just randomly have sex in the bushes. I didn't use a euphemism. Sleep with each other, go all the way in the bushes. And this politician was caught for the second time, and he wasn't doing that, though. He said he was watching badgers.
That's hilarious.
So now when people talk about that act of going out and what's another word for it?
Hookups,
yeah. They'd say, oh, watching badgers. It's become like a euphemism in popular culture.
I just Googled what a badger is, and I'm embarrassed that I didn't know what it was, but I also honestly... didn't know what it was.
Oh. Yeah, you don't have them there, so I think the closest you have is maybe a raccoon.
Yeah,
well, she's got a very interesting face looking at
I'm very, looking at badgers.
Yeah. You've looked very, very interested in badgers. Okay. I think we've
sounded like a euphemism. I'm looking at badgers.
Well, since we're talking about that, it kind of slipped into another euphemism when you mentioned beavers, because I don't know why, but beaver... Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think I do.
Yeah, beaver is, I'm not even going to say the word, female private parts, your private parts. That's a nice formal euphemism to use to talk about genitalia, private parts. Yeah.
Private parts, very polite.
That's the formal one.
We can say that word
useful
comfortably.
One. Yes. So yeah, watching beavers, I think then people would get the meaning sometimes. But okay, watching badgers. Oh, I think we need a little. Okay. So the next thing, the last thing, we'll do it quickly. It might not even work. But I had the idea to play euphemism tennis, where we each go backwards and forwards saying a euphemism. And Shireen, when I put this idea to her at the beginning, suggested euphemisms for calling someone an idiot. So... Mm-hmm. Let's see how this goes. I will be able to tell if you're looking at your screen, if you're Googling something.
Damn it.
Okay, so I can't even think of the first one. you're as thick as two short planks.
Oh, wow. Thick as two short planks. Dumb as a doorknob.
Mm. One sandwich short of a picnic.
Wow. I have a random British one that came to mind. I don't know if it means dumb, but a wet fish?
Huh. Yeah, I think so. No, I think wet fish is more like we've got no confidence.
Oh, okay.
I think so. It could be though. I'll let you have it because I'm okay. Not sure. Well, you said dumb. Is that not a euphemism?
I don't know. I think it's just as bad as synonym.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, these are more like dysphemisms anyway, because they're negative. Mm-hmm.
That is so not correct.
I think you win. I can't think of another one.
The lights are on, but nobody's home.
Okay, good. And also very true, because I can't think of another one. All right, Shireen, that's been really good. It's been great to chat with you again.
I loved coming back to your podcast. Thank you for having me again.
Okay. Everybody go check out An English Nerd on Instagram, anenglishnerd.com, and YouTube also, right?
Haven't posted in a long time.
Okay. That's why it wasn't.
But it's there.
It's there. Me too. My YouTube channel is there. There's some content, but it's not. We're too busy, right? To be posting videos every week now.
That's okay. True.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye.
English with Rob.
Euphemisms. 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 Don't say die, say pass away. Don't say have sex, say go all the way. Euphemisms. Euphemisms. Don't say do a wee or do a poo. Say have a number one or a number two. Euphemisms, euphemisms. When a subject is taboo, yeah. Use a euphemism to avoid being rude. Euphemisms, euphemisms. Euphemisms, oh yeah, euphemisms.